I'll tell you honestly, I've been struggling with this story that you've just watched unfold before you. I really have. These last few weeks, just been kind of struggling with its ordinary nature. Because I don't know what it is exactly about the story, whether it's the repetitiveness of it all, or whether it's how familiar it is to us. But I find it difficult to figure out how this story is supposed to move us. You know, really move us. Because think about it for a second. I mean, when last did you hear the Christmas story? Baby, manger, shepherds, kings, angels. And you were done with the story and you were deeply moved. I mean, you're trying to hold that lump in your throat back, the tears. All you wanted to do was leap out of your chair and scream and shout and celebrate. When last did you feel that way about this story? I mean, yeah, the Easter story is one thing, right? I mean, whenever we get to the Easter story, something about that story is kind of deeply moving because, you know, you got the cross involved and you got sacrifice and you got stuff and you're like, oh, but really, I mean, this story from a movement perspective in your soul, not a big one on my list, not a big one. I think about real quick which story last really moved you, whether it was to tears or to celebration. Which book did you read recently that was a story that caused you to go, you just wanted to jump out of your seat and scream or shout or celebrate or cry? What movie did you go to recently that really moved you? Can you think back? I mean, I'm sure you have a list in your mind of the books and movies that are your most favorite, that had the most movement to you. For some of us, it's movies like Terminator moves us, and others, it's love stories and beautiful scenes of wonderful children running around. I mean, we all have our own things that move us, but this story is not on the top of my list of moving stories. And so I've been struggling. I've been wondering, why is that? What is it about this story that makes it something that is neat and fun? And you drive through the live nativities and you're like, neat, look at that, isn't that fun? But no real movement. So I started thinking about what it is I'm missing in this story. Because apparently this story is supposed to be the story, right? I mean, this is the big one. This is the one that we celebrate year after year after year. We call it Christmas. We go around, we buy gifts, we get big church services together, we celebrate, but we're celebrating a story that's relatively ordinary in terms of its experience anyways. So I started thinking about that, and it dawned on me that there is something in this story that we've deeply missed as we're staring at a baby in a manger and we're staring at some shepherds and kings and angels. In its familiar sense, we miss the in-between-the-lines part of this story. I was thinking about movies that I've watched that cause me to celebrate. The kinds of movies that when you're done, you're jumping out of your chair, you're cheering, you're screaming, you're going nuts. And usually there's two types of movies that do that for me. One is the movie where the entire planet is in great peril because of some horrible force that's coming at it. A meteorite, a disease, it doesn't really matter. Everybody's going to die, but there's only a teeny tiny group of people that know about it. And everybody else is going about their business as though nothing's happening. And this teeny tiny group of people are fighting their hearts out to try to save the world. And inevitably, there's always one little group of scientists that fly out in some spaceship, risk everything, limb and life, and they blow up the meteorite, and little scatters of neat stars flow through our universe as everybody goes, oh, isn't that pretty, when somewhere, somehow, someone died to rescue the entire planet. Don't you love those? And as they're going, you're crying because the girlfriend's on the planet and has lost her boyfriend in space, and you're laughing because everybody's saved, and it's wonderful. You also get those same movies with disease. A movie came out years ago called Outbreak, recently saw it on TV again. A movie about a disease that started in a little village in the middle of Africa because of a monkey that bit somebody. And the disease spread its way through this village and wiped everybody else. It's those diseases that are kept in very, very special rooms because if they get out, we all die. And you know what's funny about that? You watch that movie and it starts causing me to step back and to think to myself, I wonder what it would really be like to experience something like that, where a disease that is uncontrollable, a disease that holds in its clutches death, starts spreading through the city of Orlando. and you hear about it. You're like, everybody stay in your homes. Not a good thing. Don't come out. People are dying everywhere of this thing. And then you wake up one morning and you've got that cough, you know? That cough that tells you, I hope this is flu, but if it's not, it's that thing. And then you discover that that thing has entered into your home, your wife, your children. They are the ones that have it. They're the ones that are going to die. So I wonder in that moment what it would be like to get a phone call or a radio broadcast that says, guess what? There's a small group of scientists that have been working feverishly over this thing to try and find a cure, to try and find a serum, a vaccine that would somehow fight against a disease that we are hopeless and helpless against. And guess what? They found it. They've been searching and searching for this particular person that would have this particular blood type, that would have this particular set of things, you know, that person X that the disease somehow doesn't affect. And because they're not affected by the disease, their blood becomes our lifeblood, and they can reproduce it, and we are all saved. Can you imagine standing in your house getting that radio broadcast and going, they found person X. They found them. They found them. And they say, don't worry. Stay in your homes. Ambulances will be popping around. It's a quick injection in the arm. You'll have flu symptoms for 2 days and everything will be fine. We're saved. We're saved. That's the kind of movie that causes me to jump up and celebrate. And you know what's crazy? That's the part of this story we miss. Because the fact of the matter is, yes, at the birth of Jesus in the manger, the story has not come to its culmination, its end. We haven't seen it progress to the place where Jesus dies on a cross for our sins and rescues us from the death that comes from sin. But what we miss is the moment that took place in this manger. Because this moment is not the end of the story, but it is the phone call. It is the radio broadcast that says, guess what? Though we were hopeless and helpless against sin, though death entered this planet and its putrid, horrible nature infiltrated everything, trees, animals, the very crust of the earth, the stars, the universe, the whole thing is all dying, everything, because Adam and Eve decided to do it their way. And when it entered in, the Bible says it entered in through one man, and that sin came with a force that was so destructive and so horrible that despite the fact that we're all going about our business as though everything's ordinary, it is a disease that is wiping out the hearts and souls of mankind, including you and me. And you know what? We are helpless and hopeless against it. It will accomplish its deal. It will kill us. It will destroy us. It damns humanity to its end. And that's what we were facing, guys. And until we realize that, we will never realize the beauty of what that manger represents. The beauty of what's laying in that manger. Because in that manger is the only possible person X. The one person that sin did not affect, that sin did not impact, that sin could not touch. The one person that could live his life the way we cannot. The one person that could stand in the gap and rescue us from sin and death. And it is through his, wouldn't you know it, blood that we are saved. Isn't that crazy? Through his blood, through his death, through his sacrifice, we are saved. He is our lifeline. He is our redemption. He is our rescue. And though we generally speak about that part of the story at Easter, the incredible nature of this part of the story, Christmas, is that the person X was found. Yeah, we haven't seen it come to its end, but we get to be part of its beginning. See, what's really cool in the movies is while everybody else is suffering and dying and still dealing with disease, there's always that little group of scientists, isn't it? That find person X, and you know how it goes in that little room, right? High-fiving each other. We've done it. We've done it. The search is done. And when you look at the shepherds and you look at the kings and you look at the sheep, for crying out loud, anybody that was in that manger, you know that was the little group of bandits, the little group of guys that were like, do you have any idea what's in this manger? Do you have any idea what we found here? We have found peace to men and goodwill. That's what we found. We found redemption, rescue, everything is captivated in this one single little child in a manger. It's our person X. And person X does not rescue us from physical death alone. Person X rescues us from the damning horror of sin and rescues us from all of it. So when you leave these doors today, when you head out of here, know this, that God, in his grace, provided for us person X, Jesus himself. He should have closed the curtains on this story, folks. He should have just wiped us out because we were already sin and death. But he didn't. No, he didn't. He had a plan that would blow your mind to provide a person X for us to rescue us from our sin. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 5, in verse 21, there's a simple little verse that captures the celebration of Christmas. It says this, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What we could not be, the righteousness of God, Christ did for us through becoming what we were, the sin and death of mankind. Martin Luther writes this little quote that I love, and I leave you with this thought. Now we have received from God nothing but love and favor. For Christ has pledged and given us his righteousness and everything he has. He has poured out upon us all his treasures, which no man can measure and no angel can understand or fathom, for God is a glowing furnace of love, reaching even from the earth to the heavens. When you celebrate Christmas in a few days and you open the Christmas story this time and you're ready to read that old familiar story that doesn't move so deeply anymore, may you close your eyes for a minute and imagine what it would feel like to get that radio broadcast, that phone call that says the death that has entered into your life, into your home, a solution has been found and you're going to be okay. And that solution is laying in a manger in Bethlehem, waiting to turn into the Savior of the world. Yes, we have reason to celebrate, the same we would if we found a cure to our most hated and feared disease. Because we have.